That's right. You're listening to a little bit of Horse McDonald, and we just about this time last year caught up with Horse just before she was releasing her brand new CD called Home. And here it is a year later, and we are so anxious to catch up with her and find out what's going on and what's in place for her winter tour with her CD. And so without further ado, here is Horse. Long time no hear.
Yes, I know. What was it, seconds? About 20 seconds or something?
That was fast. That was good. Wow. Okay, so we are on the line with Horse McDonald, and I just said it's been almost to the day, exactly a year since we've last done a little phone chat, and you were just getting ready to take off with... It's been a year, and you were just starting with your Home hadn't even been released yet.
Wow, gosh, and it's been quite a journey since then. Oh my.
Hasn't it though?
Wow, fantastic, yeah.
And we've kind of been together for some of it.
Yes, I've met you a few different things and along the way.
It was so fun, and I'm going to say before I even forget, a massive thank you to you, because in July, while Donna was here visiting, you took us took an hour out of the way, out of your journey, to stop and meet with us and to get to see her and meet her. And she was so grateful and so excited. And I know that she would kill me if I didn't say thank you for doing that.
Well, I think if I remember rightly, it was a 3-hour detour.
Was it three?
All the way from Florida, so the least we could do was come via wherever you guys were. So no, it was good fun. She has good fun.
It was, and like I said, she was so thrilled because she's been a fan for a long time, and she has been following since I think really since she first saw your Facebook photo. She's been a huge fan.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
We're a little bit of a stalker, but that's her. That's okay. You love her anyways.
Oh yeah, of course.
but we did this this talk last year at this time, and Home was just coming out, and I remember you even gave us an exclusive. You gave us the Soldier of Love single.
Yes.
And then I had the pleasure of seeing you perform it, not once but twice. We came to see you at Bush Hall, and we came to see you in Brighton. And what a phenomenal concert, especially the Brighton one. When I tell you, that was one of the most enjoyable nights I've had in a long time.
That's fantastic.
It's the music.
For some reason, there was something about that night. It was a really special night. The sound was good. The band were on form, and the audience were really, really up for it.
They were. Yeah, that's the thing. Your audience, your fan base is so fun. They're so fun to watch. It's so fun to watch them watching you.
But in the front row that night, the whole band were watching this fight between this boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, who knows. But she wanted to dance and jiggle about in her seat, and he kept hitting her, and he sat with a foul look in his face. and it really was a kind of verbal fight. But she's like, I'm barely listening to Horse, and the band were all like nudging each other, going, oh God, is the fight going to kick off? And then she got up to dance, which really set him off. But anyway, most of the time they're all happy with each other. But,
it's a diverse group of listeners. Yeah. You know, like we were saying, there was couples there, there were lesbian couples, there were straight couples, there were families, and there were your family and AJ's family.
That's right, yeah.
And then other bands, because you had Lucy and Mandy opening for you. And their fans were there too, and it was such a great mix of people that, you know, during the show you can't help but you can't take your eyes off of you guys, you and the band. But then afterwards, it's always a fun time too, like to get to talk to everybody. Cookie Meister was there, and
yes,
you know, all these familiar faces. And so did I read on your website that you're going to be back in Brighton and back?
A whole tour of November, December, also some more dates in February, but we will be down south. I mean, I've got a whole list of dates, but I won't bore you with them, but we will be doing London. I'll say the cities anyway. London, Brighton, Newcastle, Manchester, Edinburgh, Perth, Aberdeen and Kirkcaldy up in Scotland. So yeah, I'm doing the whole man thing, but I mean, I told you about a competition I'm going to run.
The competition, the what was that?
I'm running a competition.
Yes.
And it's the first time I've done anything like this, and it's probably quite, I don't know if it's going to be overambitious or what.
This is really...
We've had a lot of entries so far, but in each city we're in, or each venue we're in, each town, every city, when we're en route to that, we're going to choose someone's home en route. Got to be within a 10-mile radius, give or take a mile or two here or there. And we will drop in, or I'll certainly drop in, and I will sing in this home. And the only thing is, they have to write to me and tell me why they should get a special visit and a special, you know.
This is such a cool contest.
Well, it is. It's a bit scary for me. But, I mean, the interesting thing is, what's been fantastic is, it's not just I want you to come and play in my house. We've had a couple of old folks' homes suggested for relatives. We've had a hospice. People who are ill in their own homes. So it's this really nice idea, somebody that really deserves a little surprise visit or a visit and maybe a handful of songs, something, while we're en route for our show anyway, and just divert slightly and cheer someone up maybe.
It's a spectacular idea. How did you come up with this? Because it is a little scary.
The album is called Home. And myself and Jen Bassplayer and AJ were talking and we were saying, well, what can we do that's really something worth talking about? Not just the show is going to be amazing, but what can we... And as we were centering around home, and we had this idea of bringing you home.
Yeah.
So basically we will go, maybe Gordon, we will go into someone's home or the place that wins the location, go in and actually bring them a piece of home in their own home, because for various reasons they maybe can't come to a show.
Oh, man. And so now you said you've been getting a really good response.
We've had some great responses. I'm not being told who they're from. There's absolutely no bias. I'll just read what the story is or why they want us to come along. And as I said, we've had a few interesting ones. There's a choir in Edinburgh want me to come along.
Oh.
To one of their rehearsals. So for inspiration for them. Which is a lovely idea.
That is great. It just seems like my first thought was this will be interesting because you know that once you get there and you start singing, then afterwards they're gonna offer you food. You may have to use someone's bathroom. Like, these are all the things that I go, oh man, this could go horribly wrong, you know.
I mean, I don't want to say too much, but yeah. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, I think in the terms and conditions it says it cannot be, you know, a pub or a bar or, you know, somewhere where 40 million people are going to turn up as an alternative to the actual show. But yeah, some people immediately went, oh, right, I'll need to clean the house.
Right, I will leave the Hoover out for you. Yeah, that's so funny.
You know, sitting looking at it, I go, oh my God, I would have to, you'd have to tidy. But again, you know, at the end of the day, you're only going to be in someone's house for, you know, half an hour or something like that. So,
it's true.
you don't necessarily have to have something to drink or eat or pet the cat, you know.
What if you get a house that has like 6 cats?
I'm allergic to cats. Like, well, not allergic to them. I actually have had cats, but my asthma doesn't bear too well with older cats, so I would be just going, hello. Hello, nice kitty.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Bye-bye now.
Where do I think?
Outside.
Yeah, so anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to do it for this tour, but I'm also going to Australia, and the dates have been confirmed now, in March, so we'll roll out in Australia as well, so 10 miles, we might have to stretch it to 20, I don't know, because it's a much bigger area, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a vast one.
And we'll do it again in February.
That's going to be great.
I know.
You've got a big fan base in Australia. I know that when I met Rachel.
Oh, Rachel Black, my good friend Rachel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I know you've got a strong fan base there. That should be exciting. And I think I was just reading up that Heather Peace is going back to Australia too.
Yeah, she's going out in maybe the end of March, I think. Maybe going, well, a couple of weeks after that or something like that. Wouldn't be good to coincide.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great to cross?
Clash of the fan bases.
That would be great.
Although I think, in saying that, I think, I'm not saying my fans are different, but I do have quite a mixed audience. And certainly last time we played in Australia, there's a real mix of people, kind of pretty much like you saw in Brighton.
Yeah.
Mixed age groups, mix of different people. So, I mean, venue-wise, it will be sort of, you know, suitable to that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. What an experience. And, you know, we were just talking earlier a little bit about Australia and stuff, and there's just, it's because it is so big and there's so many places to go and things to do. You've got to be really focused on your venue and your audience in each particular place that you're going, because, you know, just when you think about how far away each place is, it's not just the drive down the road.
That's it. And because it's such a long journey to get to Australia, there's no point in going for a week. I mean, I think I'll be away for 3.5 weeks across there. But I've got family in Perth, friends in Melbourne and Adelaide. So, you know, I'll get to spend a little bit of time with them as well. So it's well worth the journey. This trip is probably just going to be in me and my own, which I find quite, but in actual fact, it makes for a very, very intimate performance. And I was just saying to you earlier that I had done one of these shows down in Cornwall, and I got this beautiful letter from this older gentleman, shall we say, saying what a wonderful performance and how pleased he was that he'd been to the show. And he'd obviously seen things about a lesbian performer, but him and his wife came along and absolutely loved it. And so, you know, if people actually see what I do, then all of these barriers and boundaries that people hold in their minds vanish instantly, because, you know, we're all, we say a phrase in Scotland, we're all Jock Tamson's bairns. You know,
yeah.
We're all cut from the same cloth, really.
It's true. We were saying that. I think that when your fans get to see you, especially performing on your own, there is that intimate connection, and you don't realize that everybody's there for their own reasons, you know, whether it's they're appreciating your music or they're relating to the words and the lyrics of your songs and it means something to them, and that relatability, it really does broaden your fan base, and you do have quite a mix of people that connect on such a level.
I don't know where I'm going to go from here in terms of the next album, because this album in particular encapsulates my journey in the last kind of dozen years or so. And there's a lot of powerful things happened during the making of it and contained on it, and coming up for the other album before it as well, losing both my mum and my dad, and getting married, and a lot of massive things. And these are not lesbian things. These are human things.
Yeah, they're life things.
To everyone. So I think when I go and perform, because I'm on my own, I don't have Gordon digging me in ribs going, next song. So as you can tell from just now, I like to chat, I'd like to talk to people, and they talk to me, and I go off on a tangent and I'll maybe do a slightly different song from what I planned. But it's just like it is reducing a hall into a living room, I think, in some respects. Almost like bringing your family together.
Yeah, I do. There is something about an intimate performance, you know, in a smaller venue that really allows you to appreciate what's going on, as opposed to a massive forum or a stadium show, you know?
It's how artists do a major stadium show and bringing some sort of intimacy to it. I don't know how you manage to do that. And I think a lot of artists, I think the Eurythmics, Annie Lennox is a good example of that, where they started off in small venues. I saw her when they went to number one with Sweet Dreams in a small place in Glasgow. Well, small for them, maybe about 500 capacity.
Yeah.
And it was an electric performance. The next time I saw Eurythmics or Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart was in a huge shed in Glasgow, commonly known as the SEC. And the sound was awful. They were vacuous. There was nothing.
Yeah.
They'd been performing for many years. And I think in some respects, it's good to go back to where you came from.
Yeah, like an actor getting back to the theatre.
Mm, yes,
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. And but I don't ever want to lose that. And I think I've been going so long doing what I do without doing the stadium thing other than, say, supporting Tina Turner.
Yeah.
You know, on my own right, I haven't done that level of play. So every performance for me is important, everyone. And it's electric, it's exciting every time you step on a stage. And I think you lose that the more big, massive shows you do. You're just kind of cushioned by lots of people around about you and not actually getting to touch the audience in some respects.
Right, yeah, you can't possibly. It's just, it's massive. Going back to what you were saying about how personal this the Home
album
has been for you,
yeah.
Is there a fear that that the next one, say it's not as personal? Is it a challenge or a fear that you know, like this was the one that spoke the loudest to your fans, and is there like a hope that the next one will, even if it's not as personal? Like, how do you get motivated?
Yes, it is a worry. It's an absolute worry. And I'm not a prolific writer, but when I write, I let a lot out. I have at least 6 or 7 songs just now that I'm wanting to work on that I think are amazing, even though I say so myself. I'll co-write a couple of those, maybe with Gordon again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of various other people I'm planning on doing some co-writing with, because I quite enjoy it, and it's a challenge for me. But I tend not to be a head writer. I don't kind of think. Mm-hmm. I just let stuff come out. And I'm hungrier than ever since this album came out. And I thought after coming up for air, after losing both parents, I wasn't going to ever write another song that meant so much.
Right.
But then, you know, we moved forward and Home came along. Gosh, there are always things in your life that I think you're quite emotive about, and I think, yeah, definitely, I think it's going to be my usual letting stuff out, and who knows when it'll come out, when I'll go and get recording, but it's just how I work, I suppose. But it is a fear, it's a constant fear, will I ever be able to write another song? How do I write a song?
Yeah.
I did a masterclass a month ago here in Glasgow, and I thought, how can I tell people how to sing? I'm not a singer. But anyway, of course, in front of an audience, off I went. You know, I do know exactly what I'm talking about, really. And that was good to share that.
It's the your experience to be able to speak about that. You know, I can't even imagine the lessons that were taken away, you know, from that. That was a really interesting idea and concept, too, the masterclass. And there's another one. You're going to do another one, correct?
Yes, I'd like to do another one down south. I'd like to do one, maybe London, maybe Brighton, I don't know. I'd like to do another one of these, because I think it was a bit of a revelation for these performers. I think I chose a woman, the last person is Stephanie Lawrence, who's an amazing, amazing singer. I mean, watch out for her. And the song she chose, I think it's a stunning song. And I don't know if you're like that, but I find it very hard to go, I really like that song, if I don't.
Yeah.
But I heard this song, and I think it's a phenomenal song. It's a hit. It's stunning. It's a brilliant song. So I chose her as my last performer, because I thought it was a challenge for me, because I thought, oh, she is a really good singer. But I felt that she wasn't being herself. And so I was trying to give her a piece of my experience of being yourself, singing-wise, and because she spent a lot of her life being a backing singer.
Oh.
Used to moulding herself into fitting with the singer she's been behind.
Right.
So that was interesting. But the youngest, who's 17, was a little bit, I know he'll not hear this anyway, but he's a little bit of a know-it-all.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting unfurling of him. I asked, his mum was there, and I said to her before we started, I said, how does he feel about having some criticism? And she looked at me with that look, and I thought, oh dear.
Oh boy.
I'm not going to be able to do much with this guy at all. But anyway, he sang his song, and the song wasn't making sense. It was very kind of monotone. There was guitar stuff going on that he played. And my idea was, I removed all the instruments they normally play, so that they could just concentrate on their singing. So Gemma played piano for them. And when I removed the instrument from him, he was completely lost. And I was trying to remove the note illness from him. I said, so the song, is it set in concrete? And he went, oh, yes, yes, it is. And I said, Jack, you're 17 years old, nothing's set in concrete.
So true.
So we began to unfurl it, and I said, is this about someone who's been in the army or that, you know? And he said, oh, it's because my grandfather died. And I was like, oh, my God.
Aww.
And I said, look at that emotion. I don't see it, I don't hear it, I don't feel it. You sing that song now and you think about who you wrote it for. Well, my God, I went and sat down and the audience gasped because we really did sort of unleash something quite special.
You know, that's...
And just by kind of a couple of little pushes, you know, well, pressed a few buttons and just let him do his thing and let him see that he could actually let some of it out.
Yeah. That's the idea, like going into a masterclass. I think you have to understand that you need to open your mind a little bit because you're there to learn, not just to present your work, but to learn a little bit about it from somebody who has been doing it for 20, 30 years, you know?
Yeah, well, this is it. And for me, I'm quite under... you're going to laugh. I'm quite underconfident sometimes. I'm also quite shy. And I thought... doing this was something very different for me, and I thought, am I going to be able to do this, because it's really not me standing singing. But I set myself up by singing one of the hardest songs I sing, which is a Dusty Springfield cover, I Close My Eyes and Count to Ten.
Oh, yeah.
Really difficult song to sing. It's like low, it's high, it's fast, it's slow, different rhythms, different patterns. It's a really difficult song to sing. So I came straight out and sang that, and it almost, I kind of went to myself, right, okay, that's it. Yep, I'm in the zone now. Here I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked about a bit and got started. So,
I think probably the hardest thing too is we were saying before, like, you know, we're genuinely nice people.
Yes.
And because of what we do, you know, we've had people that have given us constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. Constructive criticism, and even though you know that it's constructive, you know, it's still someone that's pecking away at the work that you've done. You know, so we know how it feels, and it is all about how you present it. And I think because it is a master class, you know, that hopefully, you know, you came away with a style within yourself of how to tell people what could make something just a bit better, you know?
Well, I was really, that particular section I was delighted about because I had an impression from what song he sent me. And I thought, you know, and he had an attitude, but one thinks now it was maybe a protective attitude. But what I wanted to do was how I am now. I wasn't maybe even as recently as like 12, 15 years ago. I'm very open as a performer, and the more open you are, the more exposed you are,
right,
the more you give. And that's a hard thing to flip over, to switch into, because the first thing you're doing when you stand on the stage is exposing yourself, and none of us like it. No one likes standing on stage and truly exposing yourself. It's different if you've got you're hiding behind a costume, or possibly why David Bowie always had some sort of image or whatever. It's
right.
A different persona to hide behind.
Right. And here we are just standing in front of our closet going, I hope these jeans look okay.
Oh, I know. The thing is as well, you do have to have, you do have to have some sort of style or whatever as well. But for me, I've never really moved away from just being good old me. Maybe I should get a stylist, who knows?
Oh, I think that honestly, when you put out the quality stuff that you put out, that, you know, people are not quite worried whether your jeans go with your outfit or your jacket goes with your outfit. They are there to hear the music and to see you, the person, and they always get what they pay for. I mean, it's like I said before, the Brighton show was just phenomenal. It was just amazing. And I also like that when you pick your opening band, it's a band that you like. Like, it's not somebody else just booking them.
You can't actually, it's almost like, because most people leave the room when the support act go on, and the idea of the support act is to quite literally warm the audience up,
yeah,
get them into the mood for watching a show. And Lucy is a phenomenal singer.
She is.
From Eek is a phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult world out there, and I think it's bringing an audience in to hear another voice. And it's got to be something that's good quality.
Yeah, you picked Sandra Macbeth too, first time.
Oh yeah, and Sandra's she's great as
she's
a performer
talented.
As well.
Very talented.
Yeah, she's working on a new album. I'm actually doing a song with her.
Oh.
She's someone again, and I think Eek are pretty similar. Is I hate people being pigeonholed.
Yeah.
And I don't fit into any category. I could perform anything in a certain style, or with a quartet, or an orchestra, or with the band, mm-hmm. or solo. It's about having great songs, and Sandra's like that because people would think she's a bit of a folkster.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, you know, the songs are just really good quality songs, and it's the same with Eek. I mean, it's just great quality songs. So, you know, that it's nice to give somebody a platform with an audience that appreciates me for not being in a pigeonhole.
Right. Exactly. That is exactly it. So true. We were talking a little bit about you possibly getting to go to the States, and I was telling you that I meet so many people and talk to so many people back home who know exactly who you are and who've been following you for years.
Well, yeah, they might have got a bit lost along the way, mind you, but I had certainly the days of Same Sky and God's Own Movie, we were in the States. In fact, I've probably been to more places in the States than people in America.
I bet.
And had a great time, and people really, really enjoyed it. And the sad thing is, a lot of the reason for not going any further or all of those things is often based on the company you're with, how much money they're prepared to put into what you do, because of course the States is such a big country, and spending a little bit of time there. We were in Germany touring with Tina Turner, and the Americas, we were with Capitol, the first deal we did, and they came over to Germany to watch us perform, etc., etc., and they were really keen for us to go out to the States and tour and do stuff. And the Germans were saying, stay here, and you have big hit with Speed Things. And actually, we were pulled out of Germany, and the German company were saying, stay here for at least 2-3 weeks, and it'll go bang, and, you know, you'll have a very solid base and be able to work off that. But the Americans want us to go out to America, so we left Germany, and we're almost about to board planes to go over to the States to do stuff. And the Gulf War happened, and we didn't go back to Germany, and we didn't go to America. And, you read people's autobiographies, etc., and read stories about why this didn't happen and why that didn't happen. I mean, I could tick 100 of those boxes.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd like to come back. I've got some good friends in New York and LA and... Yes, and probably Florida.
I know you have one in Florida.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about writing an actual book about your experiences?
Several people have spoken to me about that, and yes, I think it would make a fascinating story for people.
I do too.
It's funny. Unlike a boy band or, you know, the people who've just had immediate success after 5 years or 3 years or even 10 minutes, having an autobiography out is just a farce, really, because they've done nothing.
Right.
But I feel like I've still a long way to go yet.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I think it would make a great story. I think the struggles of you know, the personal struggles and personal... traumas and difficulties with identity and homophobia and lots of those early things, getting publishing, record deal, all of those things, and how I felt, how I interacted, the tours. It would make a really interesting story if it was written well. I certainly don't think that I could actually write it, but I think it would actually make a good reading for someone.
I do too. I really do. We were talking a little bit earlier about in this day and age with Facebook and with Twitter and social media, the way it is, how artists are able to connect with their fans and promote so much more than they used to be able to. And I'm just wondering, like, it's a good thing because, you know, it is a way of staying in touch with your fan base and letting them know what's coming up and getting them hyped and geared for it. But it also opens you up to a lot of chatter that you may not want to hear. I follow you on Twitter, so I know that you're always out there on Twitter, and I love that you answer everybody's questions. And so what do you think about that? Do you think it's a good thing?
I think that you have to, I think it's like life anyway, you have to have a balance. I've been so busy doing my tax in the last 4 or 5 days, I've been a bit remiss at being on Facebook and Twitter, but I notice that interactions are down, all of those things are not happening, so I do have to actively take part in stuff, put stuff up, and interact with people, which you do get a lot out of personally anyway, but it does give people a glimpse of what you're up to, and you are making contact more than you would ever have done with just your website.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's isn't it funny how you like years ago, nobody wondered what you had for lunch, and now you can tweet that you ate an apple, and you get like 9,000 people saying, "Was it a Granny Smith? Was it a Macintosh? Was it good? Did you hurt your tooth?
No.
Did you?"
See, I try not to be so. I'm trying to think of, but somebody could shoot me down and blame me and say, "Well, actually, no, you did post about eating an apple one day." I get mixed up. I don't get mixed up. Sometimes I forget that Twitter is short form and Facebook is long form. And often I post things, I think, "Oh God, that was awful long." People on Twitter, you're supposed to make it just kind of quick comments and notes and just little thoughts, etc. Yeah. But I get sometimes, I just, as you can tell from this conversation, I just. My dad used to say I had verbal diarrhea.
Verbal diarrhea.
So
you need a radio show.
Not ideal for me, but yeah. I think you get a lot out of it. I think the downside is there are a lot of keyboard heroes out there, and certainly I've had my fair share of unpleasant things be said, etc. But these things are deletable, and you know
exactly. Workable. It's true. That's the truth. It is. It is deletable. Mm-hmm. It becomes like a part-time job. Like you feel like if you didn't devote, you know, a half an hour a day to, you know, replying to tweets and, you know, at least posting one or two things on Facebook, that you're letting people down. There's this expectation that comes along with it.
Definitely an expectation. But also I think as well, it's nice to put a couple of pearls of wisdom up there too.
Yeah.
That makes people think, and it's like you are, inverted commas, a Facebook friend, you are sort of sharing thoughts and sharing other people's thoughts. So, it is an interactive thing after all. And I think people, they say if you don't want criticism or whatever, don't go on it. But
yeah.
I don't think that that's accurate. I don't think people deserve a lot of the stuff that happens. Really, really don't.
Yeah,
I think it's normal behaviour.
It is. It's true. And it can get out of hand. And I think the big part of it is, like you said, it's a balance, and you pick and choose your battles too, because, you know, it, the funny thing is that the media covers Twitter and Facebook now. So, you know, if a celebrity or somebody tweets something stupid, it's not just on Twitter. It's not just to their followers. It becomes headline news.
That's right.
You know, and it's just that part of it's a bit ridiculous. Like it should be something that's, you know, that stays where it is and not get so overblown and people take it so seriously.
I think you've got to realize though that anything that goes onto the internet is available globally.
Yeah.
And if you have a conversation with a friend, you're having a conversation with a friend. If you post it on Twitter or Facebook, then it's readily available no matter how hard you try. Even if you delete it off its existing location, it can be found again.
It's true.
So in that case, if you want to say something not very pleasant, it's up there. It has to be looked upon and judged with all the rules of the land that we have.
It's true. I always think,
really,
you know,
some of it is really absolutely nasty. And it's playground and bullying. That to me, that's what it is. It's a kind of a childish bullying that goes on.
Yeah, It's true. And, you think about it, if a person has 350,000 followers or 1 million followers or whatever, they have to understand that the stuff that they're putting out there is going out to that many people, and it, so you do, there's, a bit of responsibility comes with it.
It isn't just that the group of people that you have on your Facebook or whatever, it can be shared so many times.
Yeah.
Like a domino effect. And,
yeah.
And some of that can be quite good if you've got a charity or, you're doing some charitable thing or you're trying to sell a gig or whatever. But there are other things that shouldn't be shared, really. So
it's true. It's true. And
the moral compass has gone a bit awry.
That's a good way of putting it.
Uh-huh.
The moral compass has gone awry. It's true. It's so true. It's so much. It's so much fun talking to you and catching up and seeing what you're up to. And I know that Donna will agree with me when we say we so appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us and allowing us to put this up for everybody to listen to and to share and be a part of. We
It's a great
appreciate.
opportunity for me, obviously, as well. And on the plus side, I get to chat to you and I get to chat.
Yeah.
I was going to say there is another competition that I'm involved in. It's a thing called Write Out TV.
WriteOutTVAwards.com, correct.
Yeah. Do you know that?
I do. As a matter of fact, I learned about it through my good friend and director, filmmaker, LA-based Linda Anderson, had posted something on my page, and I was like, what is this? This is interesting.
I've known about it, but I've never actually... Anyway, I've been entered for a couple of things. One is for Best Song for this year, and, well, from September 2012 to September 13, and Best Performance.
I love the performance part of this.
Silence. So go in there and have a little look.
Have a little look. Do a little voting.
Because I mean, there are judges for the best song and best performance, but there's best artist of the year, and that's the specific fan based one. So
that's the one we were actually talking about that on our podcast last night.
Mm-hmm. Great. There are so many awards for songwriters, there are awards for actors,
yeah.
But this is specific to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender
yes.
People, and it's global. These artists are from all around the world, and they're all LGBT, and that's unusual because there's nothing like it anywhere else, and it's hard swimming upstream.
Yeah.
Harder maybe for us sometimes than others, but it's an opportunity to be recognized by our peers.
It's true, and I'm glad that you brought it up because the performance part of it that you entered, that there was a video that I saw. I think I put it on our Facebook page in our group, and that's just you with a guitar sitting
that's
on the
right.
floor singing some songs, and I love the simplicity of it because it really did capture you in your element.
It was a rainy day, and I was waiting to perform. I was the headline act at a little festival, and I got soaking wet, and they said, here's the keys to the village hall. So myself and Tracy Mack, two of my manager, came up, and we went into this lovely, warm village hall. I got changed. I was warming my voice up, and she said, why didn't I film you? And I went, yeah, on you go. And that was as simple as that, and I think it really captured a moment, and I loved it. I mean, it's not perfect as a performance or all those different things, and at the end of it, I was so engrossed in it, I came flying towards her and nearly hit her in the, in the little phone camera, but I thought it was, I like stuff like that. It was a really simple, totally unplanned, spontaneous performance, and I think that's what I'm about. When I'm on a stage, that's how it is, and that's why I liked it.
And that's why we love you.
Aww. Well, I was going to say we love you, but I love you.
I'm so thrilled that things are going so well, and I'm super excited about getting to see you in these upcoming months. So,
well, I'll have to come to one of the dates, or we'll try and do a 3-hour detour.
I know. I'm thinking. If I'm getting the Brighton dates correct, I think that my parents will be in town, and I would love to bring them.
London's, these are November 21st is London, Brighton is 22nd,
yep.
23rd is Newcastle. I'm reading them off a page now. November is Band in the Wall in Manchester, November 28th, Manchester, Band in the Wall, 29th, Edinburgh, Queen's Hall, 30th is Perth, that's sold out actually now though, 4th of December, Aberdeen, Lemon Tree, 5th of December, Beveridge Park in Kirkcaldy.
Holy, you are going to be so busy. You are going to be so busy, and that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, yes, and the busier it is, the more excited I'll be, and the more everyone will get. And I tend to meet people afterwards as well, so.
Yeah, you have to stick around and have a little chat, too.
It's worth it.
It's true. I think we're going to be able to make it to the Brighton show. We were talking about the last time my parents were here, my mother came by herself, and she absolutely loved Brighton. And then the next time she came, and she was with my stepdad, we didn't get a chance to go to Brighton. So she did say this visit that she wants to. So we'll bring them both down for the show.
You must do. But hopefully I'll see you before that, because it's another sort of 8 weeks or so.
Yeah, it's true. We need to do something sooner.
Yeah. Okay.
Most definitely. All right, my lovely. You have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Lots of love to you, and lots of love to Donna as well, and everyone listening.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.